The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
A couple weeks back, I started just kind of bearing my heart a little bit about the potential for worship, the possibilities in worship. What could happen when a group of people come together with intention, with purpose, with understanding of who it is we're worshiping and the effect that we can have in worship. This morning's demonstration in worship, now I didn't coordinate any of this. I really did not. I did not coordinate the warfare stuff that kind of Vanessa led us in. She actually used some terminology in her exhortations that are in my notes. And I mean, so for me, I'm just standing watching, and we've seen this happen so many times where Holy Spirit, how many know he's the great orchestrator? Amen. And so there was just an exclamation mark on what I know is in my heart and I know is in us as a people to be able to worship as a corporate body. Now, this does not displace personal worship. In fact, this begins with personal worship. You know, if your only time of worshiping is when you come to church, I just encourage you, rediscover what it is to worship Jesus with words, with song. Yes, I know that everything we do is worship. I know that work is worship. I know that my whole life is worship. But there's something about making declaration, proclamation, declaring who God is with thanksgiving and praise on a personal basis and as a corporate body that is critically important. This is the way we fight our battles. Right? You know, war rooms. We have a war room on Sunday night. We have one here on Thursday morning. And we have come to find out that there is tremendous joy in warfare. In fact, we have come to find out that joy in and of itself is warfare. And the celebratory worship and adoration of the King, I tell you, when that song talks about this is the way we fight our battles, I'm just reminded of Hezekiah when all the odds were against him. Armies, just, you know, three or four different nations that were coming against him. And they're shaking in their boots, and they didn't know what to do except to bring and to spread out the letters before the Lord. And the story goes on to say that when they began to sing and when they began to praise, the Lord set up ambushments against the enemy. Corey, do you know that you can go to whatever theater they put you in? And when you start to sing and when you start to praise and specifically do warfare on the behalf of your battalion, on the behalf of your brothers and sisters that you're serving with there, do you know that the Lord will set up ambushments against the enemy? I mean, and these ambushments, the way they look in the spirit realm is real. I've kind of seen it. It's a confusion that comes upon the enemy. I believe that the enemy over this nation has had an unchallenged hold for so many years that right now there is confusion in the enemy's ranks.
That's right.
The fallout's happening here on planet Earth, okay? And I know it looks really, really messy right now, but I tell you, if you have eyes of the Spirit, you just understand that something, one power is being dislodged in the heavenlies right now, and another a power is being raised up.
Yes.
I'm convinced that's what's happening in my heart. I know it. And it looks messy. In fact, the Lord spoke to my heart several months ago, and he said, Dave, when things happen in the heavenlies, the fallout happens on earth. And it comes on people. And he said to me, he said, Dave, be very careful how you handle the people in the fallout. Be very careful about the people that are really scared right now because of the changes that they're seeing take place. People that don't subscribe to our gospel. people that don't subscribe to our political views. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, be very careful how you handle people in the fallout. So I want to encourage us with that. Worship. So there's an invitation to worship. I love the definition of worship. In the Greek, it comes from a couple of words that they're derived from words, and it means to kiss. It's like a dog licking his master's hand. Can you see the affection in that? I mean, you know, when there's pictures, you don't, you know, it's not like, well, we're just dogs licking the master's hands. No, it's the picture of faithfulness. How many know a dog is a man's best friend? Unless you don't like dogs. And I got some dogs that, I digress. To fawn, to crouch down to, and that's literally, figuratively, to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence, to adore, and to worship. So, worship is a spiritual exercise. In fact, John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, and we all know the story. Jesus goes and he speaks to a Samaritan woman at a well. He shouldn't be talking to her because she's a woman, number one. Number two, she's a Samaritan, and you just don't have dealings like that. Number three, she's an adulteress, and Jesus, what holy man would be talking to her? You know? And when she finds out that he is a prophet, now she wants to pick a battle. Well, you say you're supposed to worship on that mountain over in Judea. We say that you should be worshiping in this mountain over here in Samaria. What do you got to say about that, oh holy man? And Jesus' response is so beautiful. He goes for the jugular, really. He says, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So it's really not the location where you worship. It's not the form and the ritual with which you worship. You might not like the style of worship. The issue is it's the posture of your heart. Where is your heart in worship? Do you come on a Sunday morning, and I don't have anybody in mind. I'm not, please hear my heart. I'm not being critical at all. I love the worship we have. I'm just saying, when we get together with intention and with purpose, and we start to worship in spirit and in truth, we have an invitation before us. If you come on Sunday mornings and it's just worship, I'll make it for the offering and I'll make it for the message. Can I encourage you? Can I just, at least from my perspective, it was more important to be in this worship service this morning than it is to hear my voice speaking right now. Hopefully they're both good, okay? I'm just saying, if you had to choose one or the other, I really am. I'm saying that there are things that transpire in worship when you worship in spirit and in truth. And we're going to get a look at what that looks like a little bit later. We actually saw it here today. So here's my definition. This is Dave's definition of worship. Worship is the exercise of our spirit man being given voice through our souls and our bodies.
Good.
Okay, so worship is the exercise, the release, the demonstration, the voice of our spirit man that's given license through our voices, through our emotions, through our tears, through our laughter, through our joys, through our sorrows. It is the times when our bodies are laying flat and prostrate. It's when our bodies are dancing. See, our spirit man in worship is in control. And that is one of the times where the rest of me is in subjection to my spirit man. Now, we're supposed to live like that, right? Yeah. We're supposed to live like that. But how many know when you have a whole bunch of people come together with one intention, with one heart, with one mind, and it has nothing to do with the song selection, who's singing, who's worshiping. It has nothing to do with any of those things because it's your worship that is exploding in praise before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the posture of your heart is, you are worthy. You are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. Father, we adore you because you are worthy. It's the posture of the heart. And our bodies get to demonstrate that. Our voices get to demonstrate that. I believe that we are going to see sicknesses leave in bodies. I believe we're going to see demons cast out of people just through worship. I'll tell you, there's potential in this unified coming together of the body of Christ and worshiping. This is an invitation, guys. This isn't a mandate. Although it is a mandate, this is really an invitation. It's an invitation to come together with no other agenda but to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a corporate body, as one voice, as one heart, as one mind. Oh, I tell you, the potential. What could happen? Could the enemies be thrown into the kind of disarray that Hezekiah saw? You know, could the devil just be sent scrambling over off of our families? This is the way we worship. And what was the second line to that, Vanessa? I'm surrounded, but I'm really surrounded by you. Kind of like that. She says it a lot better than me. Thank you. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Could it be that we are, we could be the Elisha whose unbelieving cohort comes and says, man, we're surrounded, we're done, we're cooked. And he says, no, you're just not seeing properly. You're just not seeing reality. I'm convinced a lot of believers are not seeing reality in our nation right now. And I believe there's a lot of believers that are lending their faith to the enemy forces. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I did. Was that okay? Bob, was that okay? I got to check with my superior here.
It's the truth.
No, really. See, we tend to give our faith to what we can see. Yeah. Bob and Marcy's contender class is convincing us that we need faith is believing before you see something.
Amen.
It's seeing something that is already in the heart and in the mind of the Father.
Yes.
It's already there. It hasn't manifested on earth yet. It's waiting for some bodies to carry it.
Right.
It's waiting for some mouths to speak it out.
On,
it's waiting for somebody that will join their faith with the faith of heaven. And when faith and authority on earth match with the faith and the authority in heaven, bam, a miracle happens.
Yeah.
It's not about us working up enough faith. It's about us giving our seed of faith and agreeing.
Yes.
With the heavenly authority.
Yes.
I tell you, there is a power when we take our human authority and bring it into agreement with heaven's authority.
Yes. That is true.
You'll never see it before. You'll never see it without faith. In other words, there are a lot of things that are left undone in your and my life because we've had our eyes on our circumstances.
That's true. Yep, that's good.
Worship is a two-way street of communication. I love that part of worship. I love the two-way street of worship. How many know, you know, I really am not being critical. Please hear my heart. And just before I got saved, the grand old hymns, they're so magnificent. They were really beautiful. They are wonderful. They were glorious. And yet, in the hymns, it seemed like it was so much a one-way street of worship. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
In other words, the earmark of worship in another era was when everybody was singing the same song. That was the high water tide mark of worship. We got everybody singing the song, same song. And that's wonderful. Every move of God has had its own flavor of worship that has earmarked that move of God. When I got saved in the hippie movement, the hymns were probably a little bit too difficult for us, so we just played these three-chord songs. Everybody and anybody could learn to play a guitar, go around a campfire, and you'd sing Scripture. You'd sing Scripture, and if you knew how to play three chords, you could do it. And we did it. I mean, it was nothing to flop at somebody's house and somebody had an old broken down guitar and said, hey, let's sing, let's worship, you know. And we'd start to plung out a guitar out of tune and we'd all know the same songs. You know, probably, I'm guessing 50% of the Scripture that I have memorized was from those days. There's something about when you put Scripture to music that it just does something in you and you can remember it. I was sad to see those days go. In my view, this is my view, not necessarily a clear view. By the way, I so honored people like Burl and Mary, who had seen different styles of worship come and go throughout their life. And they were always willing to lay down their preferences for what God was doing in another generation. There's such an honor in that, and I so did honor them. So the music started to become... In my view, it was very good, but it was very wordy. I thought, how in the world can a whole congregation learn all these songs and sing all these songs? You know, and if you haven't noticed, but there's been another transition in worship. And the transition in worship that I'm seeing that's really alive right now is very intimate. And it's very personal. And there's a sensing at times where I have no business trying to get into Vanessa's heart while she's leading worship. In other words, there's a freedom. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more because I believe this is the move of the hand of the Lord where we don't need to sing a scripted song or message to be in unity. I know that's a weird thought, but that's kind of like the way God does it. I mean, he does that in churches. I can have unity with churches that don't think, teach, necessarily believe all the things that I believe. I can have unity with people who don't know Jesus at all. Susie and I, we have Susie's Running for Justice, and we purposely formulated that as a non-religious organization. Why? Because we want to find unity with this whole thing of human sex trafficking is not a Christian issue. It's a human issue.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we can serve with, and we really enjoy getting out with people that don't know Jesus or very, very liberal churches. And that's okay. So diversity is really God's unity. But it's everybody picking up their part and doing what they're called to do. So worship is a two-way street of communication. Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. Psalm 91, you all know it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my strength, he's my fortress, he's my God in whom I trust. You know, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh me. And all those beautiful promises. But it's almost like David is third person speaking over the congregation and saying, listen, I'm preaching a message to you guys. This is what happens to those that dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. But there's something really beautiful that transitions in that psalm. When we get to verse 14, all of a sudden the two-way communication kicks in. It's no longer David talking and proclaiming something over a group of believers. It is now the Lord responding. And he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you're not hearing the voice of the Lord in worship, I want to encourage you, start listening. There are times where I have to quit singing the scripted so that I can hear what Father's speaking for me personally. You know, we have freedom in worship to do that. And that isn't breaking unity at all. And in fact, when I hear what Father's speaking to me, and then I respond with what he's speaking to me, that is totally unscripted, totally spontaneous, off of what is going on with them, it brings a new dimension to worship. And if I do that, what if there were 10 other people that were being touched in the same way? That were getting a message from the heart of the Father, where they started making proclamation and started speaking out some things. Sometimes I tell you, it's in tongues. Sometimes I don't know what to say, but I know the authority that of what's come upon me.
Amen.
This is corporate worship, guys. It looks different than everybody looking at the song leader and singing the same song. I know it does. I'm sorry, I didn't do it. But I believe it's real. I believe this is what God is doing right now. There's three main components of worship that we get to enjoy. Thanksgiving is our hearts of gratitude for what he has done. Man, you know, if the song is going in a different direction and just an overwhelming gratitude for what God has done in you, I tell you, it would be, I'll put it this way. If something in your spirit is rising up, where there's a gratitude and a thanksgiving for the goodness and the glory of God, and you're just remembering how he picked you up out of a horrible pit. You're remembering how he has delivered you. You're remembering. I tell you, I think it would be a mistake to feel compelled to sing the song that's being sung. Just a thought. Thanksgiving. Praise, declarations of who he is and what he will do. How many know we sang some songs of praise this morning, declaring him as our deliverer? That song, "This is how I do my battles," that was a declaration of praise. That was a declaration of the protection and the covering and the surrounding of the Lord. That was a demonstration of what was going on in my spirit at that time. I tell you, I was singing the song because that was happening in my spirit. But there were times I had to step away from that and I had to start prophesying. I had to start speaking to certain mountains and I had to start declaring some things.
Amen.
See, this worship is very prophetic in nature. We are a company of prophetic people. That doesn't mean we all need to go up to the microphone. In fact, I believe the most powerful prophetic declarations happen from Sunday to Sunday out in the pews. Well, chairs. We don't have pews. In fact, sometimes we can actually deter worship, the flow of worship, by having too much from the microphone. Sometimes. The words today were fantastic. They were all right on. They were in line with what the Spirit was speaking. They were really good.
Amen.
So I'm not talking about today. But I am saying that this is not the epitome of prophesying in a worship service. You may have something that is more appropriately prophesied from your chair. I'm always prophesying. But I don't go up there and prophesy. What are you doing when you're prophesying? You're getting an ear of what the Lord is speaking in present real time. And there's something about an atmosphere of people that have come together with one intention and one purpose, with no hidden agendas. And all of a sudden you start to hear things differently. You start to see things differently. Worship is the third main component of worship. This is a very, very basic teaching. Please don't. I know there's people that week. I could go a lot of different ways with this. Well, worship is that intimate interaction of how he has affected me. all of a sudden you realize that, you know what grace is? Grace is the divine inflection upon the heart of man. That's one of the definitions. The divine inflection upon the heart of man. What God has done to change me. I mean, when I was growing up, I wouldn't have thought of laying prostrate on the ground, worshiping my Jesus. I wouldn't have even considered. I didn't even like to hear my voice. You wouldn't have heard me yelling and screaming and declaring things from our God. I'll tell you, worship, real worship, is foolishness to man. Have you ever watched a video of people worshiping? It's like, I don't want to be associated with them people, you know. But then the Lord reminds me, Dave, do you know what you look like? I guess I am associated, you know. and I tell you, if you have a fear of man, worship from the Spirit is going to be very, very hard for you. But when you can come with one intention, one heart, no hidden agenda, and allow your spirit to make declaration, to make proclamation, to begin to worship for all that he's done, being entering into this intimacy that he has woven into your life. I tell you, those times of worship is when you can weep, you can cry, you can be silenced, you can, it's like, you know, praise is one thing, worship is another thing, and we need both. We really do. We need both. We need thanksgiving. We need to be a people that are focused on giving, on gratitude and thanksgiving.
Yes.
But along with that, praise, this radical declaration of the goodness and the character and the nature and the will and the purposes of God, making declaration of what he's going to do, making declaration of what he has done. I will boast in the Lord my God, David says. There's a boasting. And that's a declaration, a proclamation of praise. So what happens in corporate worship? There's several things that happen. One of them is our focus is brought into alignment with his character, nature, and promises. Vanessa, you had, when you were prophesying, you were just singing, and you started to prophesy. Or I think you were exhorting. You weren't singing. You were exhorting. And you said, our hearts are coming in alignment. Do you remember that? Okay, I don't always remember stuff when I do that. In fact, I'll go home, I won't remember what I preached. Susie's got to tell me everything I did. But there is an alignment that happens when you're making declarations to the king. You're brought into a higher plane, actually. All right? You start to see things from a heavenly perspective. When you were singing that song, how many of you are seeing the Lord protecting and surrounding us? We think that you're surrounded by your enemy, but no, I was seeing it. In fact, one of the prayers that I pray over people quite often is when they ask for protection is out of the Psalms, as the Lord is round about his people, or as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. And that's a reality. So I don't know about you, but I was seeing things like, man, we're invincible. I hope I can remember this on Monday morning. You know? I hope I can remember this when the dog crosses my path the wrong way. And, you know, but there is something in this moment where we're all together and we are making declaration, we're making proclamation. I'll tell you, that will go with us. Those truths, those realities. I don't know, my faith was enlarged in worship this morning.
Amen.
We were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and making declarations, making proclamations where we felt invincible. Did anybody else feel invincible? So we become elevated corporately to a higher perspective. We become spiritually aligned. Worship like that brings us a body into spiritual unity where there's a commanded blessing. A commanded blessing. Think of who's doing the commanded. Psalm 133. By the way, this is a song of ascents. This is what David sang when he is going up to the house of God. You know, he's walking up the steps into the temple, and David is singing this, okay? This is what he taught people to sing. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, and then running down onto the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded blessing, life forevermore. So when we're in unity, there is a commanded blessing and anointing. It's like an oil that flows down. And it goes. It doesn't just land on Pastor Bob because he's the most spiritual person in the house. It goes down to me, who might be the beard, but it goes down to the kids that are holding on to the garment. Do you get the picture here? The commanded blessing of the Lord flows upon an entire body. The commanded blessing of the Lord, Jesus is really the head, and we're the body, and this commanded blessing of the Lord. What kind of unity can we have in worship? See, if we're coming and we're criticizing, or we just don't feel anything, you know, well, nothing's moving to me right now, I don't feel like worshiping, okay, then where's the unity? If you don't like the song selection, or you know, it when it's a matter of your spirit arising, no matter what the circumstances are, that's the kind of unity that brings blessing. It's the posture of the heart. It's the submission of the body and the soul to the greater purpose of the kingdom of God. When we have that kind of unity, it's so refreshing. Do you feel refreshed today? I got refreshed in that time of worship. It's like the dew of Hermon. You know, the Hermon was a mountain that was in Syria, and the winds would blow the dew. You know, it was one of the few small snow-capped mountains in the region. So when the winds would blow, it would blow like natural air conditioning down on Zion. And it would create a dew. It would actually water the grass, and it would water the fields. It would, you know, in a very dry and arid land. So it's like the dew of Hermon. There is a refreshing in corporate worship. I don't get that by myself. Yep. I do. But in a different way than I get it when I worship with you. Yep. I get refreshed when I'm worshiping with a bunch of people who are allowing their spirits to touch eternity. I get refreshed. So what does it look like? And I touched on this. Oh, goodness. 3 minutes. Okay, quick. What does it look like? It's not necessarily that we're all doing the same thing. There's in worship, there's prophesying, there's declaring, there's interceding in tongues and in English. At times, there's going to be a testimony, you know, that of what God has done. There's dancing, there's flagging, there's laying, there's sitting, there's coloring or drawing. There's adoring in amazement. There's weeping and there's laughing. Now, how many know we're not all going to do that at the same time? But how many know there is freedom in the house that if somebody over here is laughing radically and they're touching God with their laughter, amen, and somebody over here is weeping uncontrollably, there's not one that's more spiritual than the other.
That's right.
And there might be somebody who's flagging. I'll never forget the time I saw Isaiah Delwo. He's a little guy, about 6 years old, and he had one of those flags. I tell you, that little guy had a fire in his eye. And I mean, he was, you know, a lot of times kids use those as swords, and they, you know, we got to kind of watch that. He was using it as a sword, But I tell you, he was going after an enemy that wasn't seen. And it's like, dude, that's worship. That's amazing. So here's the opportunity that's before us. I really believe this. There are times that some of you are going to come under an incredible intercession. And you'll birth something. Either in the worship, we may not even see it in the worship. It might be something that takes fruit. It might be just get somebody pregnant, okay? And it might take a while. But I tell you, there is intercession. If the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you of radical intercession during worship, can I just say you have liberty? You have freedom? There's prophesying. There's proclaiming. You know, to proclaim something in the Spirit with a tongue, something you don't understand, just to be able to release a spiritual utterance in a tongue. You're speaking mysteries, things that you don't know about. I don't know about you, but I don't know what I say, but I kind of know what I'm doing. You know what I mean with tongues? There are times where I know my tongue is just a worship and an adoration. I've run out of words, you know, and I need my tongue. But there's other times that it is a violent declaration against the wicked one. There's other times that I'm calling you as a body into worship, and it'll be in a tongue, and I'll make some proclamations, some declarations. I tell you, worship is way more than what we have understood. What's the potential? What's the possibility that every part of the body, each member has freedom? And for some of us, it'll be just singing the songs. You know, we don't want to leave Jordan and the guys back there, you know, just they're putting on a show. That's not it. It is not it. And there are times where I sing the songs. I was singing the songs this morning. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God moves in you in a way that it makes you say, I've got to go somewhere else here. You know, you may be doing something that is going to shift the atmosphere in this house. You may be doing something that will be shifting an atmosphere in between the ears of your neighbor. Maybe. And again, I believe the highest level of warfare, when we talk about the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, taking captive every thought and imagination that exalts itself, every high thing that exalts itself against the Lord Jesus Christ. I would have a pretty good guess that for a lot of us that were worshiping this morning, high things were brought low. The exalted things between our ears were silenced. There is something about this radical worship, and we need each other. You know, again, I love intimate and personal worship. I mean, it's a lifestyle, okay? It's not something, you know what I mean. But this coming together, this coming together with intention as a body, with faith, believing of what we're doing, of who we are encountering, of who we are asking for deliverance from. When the shout of the King is among us, the shout of the King is among us. I love... And I appreciate all the different generations of worship that I have experienced. But right now, I'm really excited about this generation of worship. Amen. And I think that there are there's some stretching for us. I think that there is some understanding that God wants to give us. But I believe that prophetic worship is paying more attention to what's coming up in your spirit than what's going on around you. I believe that there's an invitation that we have as a body of believers to press into something. I don't know. I suppose it's being done other places. God doesn't just do things in one place. You know, we're not that arrogant to think that. But I want it in this place.
Amen.
I want it in this house. Anybody in agreement?
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Let's set our sights and our faith a little bit higher. Let's set our intention. I want to encourage us. Let's set our intention where we don't want to miss any of the worship. Because that is one of the most critical things we'll do on any given Sunday morning. Let's stand together. So, Father, we thank you for the high and holy privilege, God. The high and holy call. Lord, the ability to be spirits, spiritual beings that are getting a revelation of what it's like to declare you and to just be able to know that we're in the throne room with you and that the King is shouting over us and dancing over us. You're more radical than we could ever hope to be. That the joy that is found in mixing it up with the Father. Ah, the joys that I had with my kids, wrestling and playing and having fun. And yes. Lord, that we have, yes. there is this amazing invitation to touch the things of the kingdom that have yet been untouched. So, Father, we come as students. We don't come like we know it. In fact, I know less now than I've ever known. But, Lord, we want to come as students, and we want to observe what Holy Spirit is doing among us, what Holy Spirit is doing in us. And we thank you for the high and awesome privilege to think that I, who at one time was your enemy, can now come into your very presence with worship and adoration. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's coffee out in the lobby, and grab somebody. Loved ones, we'll have teams up here. If you need prayer for anything, we've got some fired up teams that know how to meet with God. Blessings.
That was powerful.